Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. We're repping some jerseys today of some players that we have some admiration for. You know, there's some people that they have a tendency to stand out because in that key moment, when the game is on the line, when the business is on the line, the big sale is on the line, there's some people that are just clutch players, and they stand apart from the crowd, and we're representing a couple of those clutch players. But you don't so often buy the jerseys of the person that, when they're standing in that same moment, they choke. They're not able to rise up there. But I know we'll probably use some sports analogies today, but it's true in business as well. Mm-hmm. I think about an organization that you and I were involved with, and I think that it was you that said it about, there was somebody we had to kind of help coach a little bit, and you said, you know, he just doesn't want to have the ball in his hands when the game is on the line. Mm-hmm. And because he was afraid of making, you know, am I going to choke at that point? So it's not just sports. I think we see it a lot in sports, right. But we see it just as much in business and nonprofits and other places as well. Some people rise to that challenge. Mm-hmm. Some people fall apart. What makes the difference?
I don't know. We're going to find out here in the next few minutes.
Okay.
I think clutch, a coach, a CEO, you kind of know, like, I want the ball in Mary's hands, proverbial ball.
Yeah.
Billy's got to have the ball. I mean, he just has ice in his veins.
Right.
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 In sports, it's kind of easy to look at because it's kind of the person with the ball or the puck or the racket or whatever they're doing, and they just game up. I mean, you just expect them to be a high performer.
Right.
But we all didn't start there. And we have to have something that kind of gets us to the, you know, clutch, I actually choked. I think one of the things about sports, very probably similar to, you can make the analogy or the parallel to sales, a really good baseball hitter in the major leagues, what is their average?
Yeah, they might be in the 300s.
Maybe, right? 300s. Yep. Like, so that's 7 times out of 10 plate appearances, they didn't do something notable,
right?
But there are certain times where you're like, okay, bottom of the ninth, crowd is on their feet.
Right.
This is the 5th game of a series to get into the World Series. And a guy walks up and you can hear either the opponent crowd or the home crowd go, this is going to be good. Right. He potentially will hit it out. He's going to do something with it.
Yep.
It's so fun as leaders to have those kind of clutch players to rely on.
Yep.
Some of us were clutch and we ended up becoming leaders in our organizations, you know, respectively. I wonder sometimes the stories, which we don't have a whole lot of time today to go through, but someone who was who choked, maybe didn't want the ball and didn't want the pressure on them. And then as they mature, they're like, over time, I gain confidence. I think that's one of the pieces that makes the difference between a person who might fall under pressure versus someone who clutches is sort of that confidence. What do you think?
Well, I think one of the most clutch players that I can think of in a lot of sports would be Michael Jordan. Mm. And I loved the commercial that came out.
Not Black Mamba.
They came out during the height of his career, and he talked about how many times he had been entrusted to take the last shot and missed. And then he said in that commercial, I failed over and over and over again, which is why I succeed. Because he didn't allow that, okay, I had the ball in my hands and I didn't come through. He didn't go, well, I'm hanging it up, game over. I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Right.
I'm never even going to try it again. And that's what I think, unfortunately, happens in a lot of situations. Hey, we want to send you in here to make the sale. I didn't get the sale. Don't ever send me out again. In fact, maybe I just want to go to a different department. You know, they just completely fall away. I think that coaches, good leaders are the ones that say, that was one, like you said, out of baseball, that's only one. I'm going to put you right back in there.
Yeah.
So learn something from that. Get right back in.
I'm not sure which episode you might remember. Maybe our manager, Harrison, might remember everything, but when my first college experience in football.
Yeah.
And I didn't do well on my first opportunity.
What are you talking about? You scored.
Yeah,
your very first play from scrimmage.
All right, really quick. So my coach sends me in. I'm a freshman. I'm traveling down to Valparaiso, Indiana. We're up 28-0. It's beautiful. He sends me out. The return man missed the kick. I'm at the 1 foot line. I've got to go 99 yards to score. Unfortunately, I lost my traction in the end zone of the opposing team, the home team, and scored a safety. That's the first 2 points I scored in my career. At that moment was a chance to be choke or clutch. And what did my coach see in me?
He saw potential.
He saw clutch. Yep. And I said, Coach, I'm really sorry I let you down. I'm just going to walk back. Here's your helmet. New, put that helmet back on. You're going back out in 3 minutes once we get the kickoff. Oh, okay. So,
well, hold on.
The coach.
We got to let's put a little. Let's finish this story here because I talked about Michael Jordan going from the failure to that. Let's talk about. I think that there was a perfect season in there.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think that there were some records for passing percentage.
Yeah, we did okay as a team, but the coach saw
He did better than okay. Look it up. Hope College and Holland, Michigan. Look up the records.
Anyway, so I would say as leaders, we have to see that. Yes. Like my coach kept his calm.
Yep.
Like he knew what was going to be for the next few years. He didn't make his decision and just blast me on one play.
Yes.
I think that's part of it. You mentioned a couple of minutes ago fear of making a mistake or failing. I think as leaders, if we really want to find more clutch people in our team or in our organization, we have to give them a little bit of that latitude of you're going to make some mistakes, but that's because you're trying.
Right. Right.
A mistake would be also if you didn't go back out.
Yep.
So I think we need to also wrestle with that in our episode here is when people make a mistake, they tried, it didn't work. That's a lesson to learn.
Yes.
I've laughed with you. My personal opinion is I could probably write a good sized book on good things that happened to me in life, business, sports, whatever. I could write a trilogy on all the things that I made mistakes on or that didn't work out.
Yep.
And that's the time to really reflect. I would do something different this time.
Yeah.
In football, in that example, my coach sent me back out. We scored 3 more touchdowns, and I had a great experience. But I was that close to saying, I don't know, this is for me. Right. I feel the weight of, I played bad. I made a bad mistake or, whatever happens to be. I will say there's one thing I really enjoy my football coach. I still see him for breakfast or lunch probably 3-4 times a year. It's just fun to reminisce and build back into him what he did to us. But
sure.
There was one game. My junior year, not the perfect season, where we were undefeated, but my junior year, we were playing at a school that I still don't like. Actually, I could drive by that city and just puke out the window. It wasn't the people; it was just my experience. So we're playing for the championship, and I will say this: I've never really felt a game was lost by someone like, the whole game was lost by one player. There's so many things in a game. It's
right,
60 minutes of basketball, or it's 56 minutes of this or that. You have so much time, 90 minutes in soccer. I mean, there's a lot of play that you can mess up. Well, I was maybe trying too hard, pressing, played quarterback. So I'm, trying to put that ball right there. And so in the first half, we were behind. We go into the second half, and we really never trailed that year. So it was a little new for us. And then I tried real hard to kind of win the game. And so I was forcing the ball, and I threw 3 interceptions in one half. I'm coming off the field, the second interception, and my coach goes, "Are you colorblind?" That was his way of saying, "Hey, just do better. Find our guys."
Sure.
Well, unfortunately, I threw to the wrong guy the last time, and that was the seal of the game, and they won the championship. That would be in the books of, failure that you learn. The next game I went out, we weren't playing for the championship. I won't tell you exactly, but I really put it to the next team because I learned.
Mm.
I think as leaders, we have to find out, if this person's a choker, okay, we might not be able to coach that up or mentor that up. But if someone's a clutcher, it's so fun. So I would say he is probably a clutcher. Jordan's a clutcher in the NBA. But I didn't know this. I knew there was Mr. Clutch, but I had to look it up. It's Jerry West from the Lakers, who's the emblem of the NBA.
Right.
Mr. Clutch, he just had steel in his veins. There's others. Chauncey Billups from the Pistons was a...
Mr. Big Shot.
Mr. Big Shot, right. Yep. Big Shot Bob from the San Antonio Spurs. Robert Horry.
Yep.
So there are, and that's just basketball. You know, I would say Tiger is Big Shot. You know, he's a clutch guy, and Tiger Woods. Joe Montana might be, Tom Brady might be. I'm using sports here, but leadership in business, we still have wins. We still have competition. We still have the opponent. And I think it's really critical for us in leadership to allow for someone to test their clutch.
Well, talk a little bit about where do you think the balance is or the weight there, you as a coach. Okay, so let's say, you know, you kneel down in the end zone and score a safety. The coach says, I believe in you. I'm going to put you back in there. But there's a little bit inside of you. You could say, well, even though the coach is putting me back in there, I'm probably going to mess up again. Where's the breakdown there of what, like, we as leaders can do for our teammates versus talk to the people that are here that have maybe made a mistake? What do they have to do to get out of their own way so that when they get that opportunity from the leader that they could be the clutch player again? So where's that breakdown?
I'm going to go back in time. There was a salesperson that was with one of my companies, and he would choke from time to time. He also could hit a grand slam. So you're like, okay, so you're up to the plate, you know, figuratively. And I'm wondering, is he going to hit a home run or is he going to strike out? And that's about the two options we had. What I learned observing him and then trying to coach him or mentor him was most of the times when he choked, he was unprepared. Hmm. Now, you can put 10,000 hours in and I still won't be as good as a computer person as you are in 10,000 hours. You're gifted that way, but I could get better. So I just found unpreparedness to be one of the reasons why someone doesn't clutch.
Sure.
There is something though that you spoke of, and I didn't really think about this prior to this episode. You got to have a little bit of grit too, to get back up, that resiliency that I'm not going to quit, persistency. I believe in myself. Not an arrogance, but a self-confidence to say, I'm going to go back out there and try.
Right.
And I think that's what, as leaders, we have to let them have that try. Otherwise, we're going to have a bunch of people who second guess and won't make any decisions. And it'll be a top-heavy organization and everything goes to the person at the top.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. And that's part of, we've talked about before in previous episodes, we've talked about the culture in an organization that if the leader sets that tone that, hey, if you make a mistake, it's probably not going to be fatal, but we can learn from that. And I'm not going to be like, oh, you made one mistake. never use you again. When that's communicated, when people feel that, I think that they're a little bit more willing to try again. Oh man, I choked on that one. Okay. Can you take some input? Can you take some advice? Let me put my arm around you here. Right. Let me talk to you a little bit. What'd you learn from this? Mm-hmm. How can I help you? All right, let's get you back in there and try it again.
Right.
And see what happens. That's part of the leader has to have that culture, which I think then helps the people, the individuals, be a little bit more, okay, I can try this again, as opposed to like, oh man, hang the head and, you know, never put me back in there again because I don't want to have to go through that again. So I think it is it's a both and. It's not either or. Yeah.
I think when someone chokes, could be the leader. We're not defining what choking is,
sure, and
what clutching is.
Sure. But
it could be the leader that chokes. I think another thing to think about for us as leaders and being on teams or in organizations, it does affect the organization when you choke.
Sure.
Vice versa. When you clutch, everybody celebrates, gets a trophy.
Yep.
But when you choke, what do we do at that point? To me, that's really leadership. That's what my coach in college told me or showed me was really, that's really wasn't what I was hoping for, you know. But I'm not going to see that. I see what you can be. Yep. This is just what happened. Yep. And I think it's vital if we're going to develop people, which is one of the main roles of leaders, is to make sure they know, you know, they're not one and done. There might need some time, which often can happen, or made a mistake, you know, of some type. But I think the whole clutch thing is so fascinating. We can talk about it factor, you know, grit, prodigy, you know, greatest of all time. We can name a bunch of athletes, and actually you can name a bunch of leaders who are greatest of all time in their industries or their window. Sure. Unfortunately, it's hard to see the future when you're the person who choked.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like,
that's true.
Okay, next game, I'd pick a little prep high school game. You know, cheerleaders are there and everybody's got pimples and they're waiting to go to the prom or homecoming, and, you know, Billy misses the shot and, you know, the gym just empties in air. Oh.
Yeah.
What does a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid do?
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair. You know, he missed the shot. He took it. That's where the ball ended up. And maybe the coach didn't even want him to take the shot, but he had to because time was running out.
Right.
I think we have to come alongside people, Craig, to make sure we have more clutchers and less chokers.
Yeah, I agree. I think encouragement, you can never go too much with encouragement. But I want to go back to something you said too about, like, if it's the point leader, if it's the one on the top, sometimes, you know, you'll see this. I'll tell on myself the other day. I was playing basketball, and I saw a guy out of the corner of my eye. When we're playing the pickup games, nobody has jerseys on. I have to remember who are the other four players on my team.
Right.
And sometimes teams change, you know, based on as team lost and they shot, you know, free throws to get back on there. And I saw a guy out of the corner of my eye, and I knew he was, you know, he's going to be open over here. When I caught the pass, I fired the pass right back over to him without looking. And then as I turned, as the ball's flying, I realized he was on my team last game. He's not on my team this game. And immediately as I threw the ball and it went right to him, this is the first thing I did with the rest of my teammates. My bad. Sorry.
Mm.
Okay. There's a lot of senior leaders, point leaders, that they go, they make a bad pass, they choke on something, and then they just go, you should have told me. And they start pointing fingers somewhere else instead of just going, hey, guys, my bad on that one. I should have taken another quick second. My bad. If you don't do that as a leader, then of course nobody else, that I got the ball in my hands, I'm not doing anything with this, because if I mess up, if he blames me when he messes up, what's going to happen when I mess up?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's again goes back to that. If you want to have more clutchers, then if you're the leader and you choke, admit it.
Yeah.
My bad.
It'll start accommodating the culture to try and make mistakes and still come back.
Yeah.
You know, I think about people who quit. Is it because it is hard? Is quitting because they don't know if they can do it?
Mm.
Is quitting because it actually is safer than trying again, or in a myriad of other reasons, explanations? Right. I think as leaders, our chances when someone loses a match, a game, a contest, a sale, a meeting, something, they didn't get the employee they were hoping for their team, that's probably the time to dive in as a leader, like my coach did. So playing that back on, you know, me scoring a safety for the, you know, first play of my career. From where we were, hash mark in the end zone, my coach was about the 40-yard line, 53-yard wide field. So I've got about 60 yards to go on an angle to walk back. He didn't wait for me on the sidelines. He met me halfway. That meant something to me. I probably couldn't have gotten my arms around it. What did that even mean at that age? I'm 18 or 19. But someone who went on the field after a really bonehead choke and said, all right, you're going back in, kick off, we'll stop them, then you march down and score. That's what I expect out of you, not that one. That's where I want you to score, not back there. Forget it. Right. Oh, okay. Even if I didn't believe it myself,
He believed it for you.
I jumped on his shoulder and said, okay, I'm believing in myself now because you do.
Yep.
What an insult to him if I said,
Not quit.
I don't know what you're doing. You're ding dong for thinking that. I'm not going out there. I'm scared. I think that's probably my best example of what a leader might do. I know it was football field.
Right.
But if someone didn't get a sale and they're coming back to the office and now everybody knows, I'm meeting them in the parking lot.
Right.
That's what I should have done when I knew of. And then as time goes on, you're like, well, I'm going to take you out. We'll get a bite to eat and let's talk about it. Or the next meeting, hey, not to embarrass you, just help us. We might learn from what you learned.
Right.
And make it healthy.
Yes.
You know, versus punitive.
Right. And I think that that's the big thing. If we want more clutch people in our organization, that we got to make sure we don't beat them up. Like you said before, I mean, everybody remembers the last shot, the last play. But you think back, okay, let's see, as a team, we shot 40% from the field.
Yes.
At the free throw line, we only hit 80% of our free throws. So the fact that you missed the last shot doesn't mean that you lost the game. Mm-mm. The game was won or lost throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
And so we gotta keep that perspective and help other people see that perspective as well.
My son played a lot of sports, got to play in college, football, actually converted to being a kicker. And it's kind of a lonely job. Because no one sees the line of scrimmage. They don't even know who's snapping the ball because everybody's so close. Their helmets are together so no one can get in and block the kick. Well, Austin's back there, and I'm thinking, but they clearly know who he's the kicker. It's either going to go that way or not that way, and it's going to either end up really good for us, and there's no one else to blame. That's the one position I would say, I would say clutch or choke. You're hoping that person kicks it through the, you know, the uprights to win the game. But the reason we're there could have been 3 first downs, 9 penalties, and a fumble. That's why we're behind.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But we only see the kicker with 4 seconds to go.
Absolutely.
And that's unfair. That's why I think with a kicker, I love it when a coach goes and meets the kicker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in football, it's like you're by yourself. Soccer has a penalty kick.
Yep.
Like, all right, so you hit the uprights really wide. The goal is this wide, and the guy is this big. Like, you got all kinds of options, but it's nothing else. Well, why are we in a kickoff? Why are we in this, you know, overtime? Because we didn't execute earlier.
Right.
So I do think there's some pressure to take off from people. I think this quote, I don't know who I would give it credit because I kind of modified it a bit. Hoping for the best is good. It's healthy. It's a good mindset. Preparing for what could go wrong could be your saver. I didn't say save your saver. Right. Like, you could save yourself, your team, your organization by being prepared. And that's getting back to the one guy that he was talented, but he potentially didn't always come ready. And I think that contributes the anxiety, nervousness, you know, fear. It just gets fueled by, I really not ready for this. And that's where the choke comes.
Right.
You know, you've been around some amazing people. What have you learned?
Well, the biggest one that I've learned is that when people fumble, when they choke, it is you gotta real early, like your coach did, came out, you know, across the field, got to get with them as early as you possibly can. Okay. Hey, come on, shake it off. Let's go. We can learn something from this. Let's learn from, not like, ah, man, I am never trusting you again.
Yeah.
You do that and
you've lost them forever.
Right.
Yeah. I coached a lot of high school sports. And they're a little more fragile than college athletes, you know, but I remember a couple compliments, not that I needed them, but it was something that this parent wished to say. So their son dropped a pass. It was kind of critical. I'll be honest. Did he lose the game? No. But it's a critical one. He could have been a clutcher. Like, the crowd would be like, oh, raise him up. He's amazing. But he missed. And then we had to kick the ball, punt the ball, and then we never got the ball back. But after he dropped the ball, I'm on the field, and I just waved him over to me, away from the crowd. So he walked, put my arm around his shoulder pads, and I says, you're going to get another chance. It may be today, maybe next Friday. I'm going to guess you'll have some time to think about things that you would have done different. But never doubt who you are. Next Friday, you'll catch that ball. You'll actually catch that ball, and we'll celebrate that you were a clutch for us. We're not punishing you because you were a choker. We're just recognizing it. You're not going to catch every pass. Right. I wish you did. You feel pretty, you know, poopy right now, but you're going to get your shot again. Send him back to his teammates who were ready to encourage him, which is our, the culture.
Sure.
So we're cleaning up the field afterwards. We happen to lose. And I don't say that tritely because I hate losing, as you know. But you know, as the parents came down to the field, see their kids and talk, the parents of that player came up to me and said, I don't know what you said, but I hope it was good. And I said, I don't know if it's good. You'll have to ask your son. I wasn't going to defend what I said. It was our time.
Right.
It was our huddle. Like, we're going to walk away a little bit and talk about it. There's no yelling. There's no punishing. There's no threats. And the next week, he had three touchdowns, and we beat a team that was undefeated. Mm. His parents came down. It was real good. And I says, you know, but your son did it.
Right.
I just gave him the chance to go back out and win, you know, and take it back, you know. Yep. So,
well, and listen, I that's a great note to. We've talked about some sports analogies, and we use that term coaching a lot, and that's really what the coach does, is has a bigger perspective, and that's what we want to do for you, for your organization, for others. If you go to maximizeleadership.com, check out the coaching page. Coaches are going to help you excel. Coaches, calling in a coach doesn't mean, well, I can't do it on my own. It means that the coach is going to give you a better perspective so you can do greater things. And that's what we want to do for you. So fill out the form on there. Tell us what you're looking for. Tell us where maybe you've hit a plateau. Tell us where you've dropped the ball. And we'll share with you how we can come alongside you as a coach to encourage you. Or you'll see on that page several of our other coaches that we might recommend for you. But we want to help you get back to the very best that you can be. We don't want to see you just throw it in because you've dropped the ball one time, you felt like you choked, you felt like a failure. We believe that you can be that clutch player. And that's why we're here to resource you. So stay in touch with us. You can leave comments below. You can reach out to us on X and on our Facebook page. Let us know what we can do for you, maybe some topics that you'd like us to cover, so that we can make sure that we're resourcing you to be the very best leader you can be. Because when you get better, everybody around you is going to get better as well. Mm-hmm. It's going to make this world a better place. That's why we're here. So stay tuned.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.